Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. This is hour two. Welcome to it. This is Q Talk America. It's the show with Clayton McKee on a Tuesday night. Woo, glad you're along with us. Tonight in the studio, I've got Kat Carlson. She's, what is that libation you're pouring there? A little beer?
Beer.
Al Perkins is sitting over there with coffee and wine.
Uh-huh. And nuts.
And your corn nuts still doing good? Got it. Actually, may I have some of those wasabis?
Uh-huh.
Those are good still. Lovely. And
well, we seal everything tight for freshness. Oh. These were delicious, too, if I remember correctly.
Well, the sweet tart. Yes, they were. Lovely. If you have any food suggestions, please send those to us, too. We'd like to do it.
As long as we don't have to cook it.
If you would like to mail us some snacks, send us a private message. We'll send you an address.
Okay, here we go. Two longtime nuns at St. James Catholic School in Torrance, California, allegedly embezzled as much as $500,000 in tuition, fees, and donations, according to the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. It is believed the nuns used that money to spend on travel and gambling at casinos over the years. The figure represents only what auditors have been able to trace in 6 years of bank records and might not include other cash transactions. Officials from the Archdiocese of Los Angeles told this information to parents and alumni of the school. The school said the nuns, Sister Mary Krupper and Sister Lana Chang, admitted to stealing the money. Krupper is the former principal who had been at the school for 29 years. Coincidentally, she retired earlier this year, and Chang was an eighth grade teacher for 20 years. She, too, retired this year. The theft was uncovered during a recent audit. Quote, this matter came to our attention during financial reviews in connection with the change in leadership at our school. Other staff persons were not implicated or responsible, according to the parish's pastor, which said in that statement. The nuns' order, which is called the Sisters of St. Joseph of Carondelet, I believe, said the nuns are cooperating and intend to pay back all the money in full. At first, the school said it didn't want to pursue criminal proceedings, but now the Archdiocese tells ABC News the investigation has deepened, and they are considering making it a criminal case. So these are the two ladies who took off with the money.
Crafty bitches.
One of them is trying to hide blush somewhere.
So I don't know. It's rosacea.
Yeah. Right.
She may have been drinking. Maybe it was drinking money. Who knows what they're doing?
Got into the sacramental wine or whatever.
But I just think it's kind of interesting. They worked together to take the money. They conveniently retired together and take trips together. I think they're lesbians. They're in a relationship. That's it. I'm sure.
That seems fair.
That's my analysis.
Fair assessment.
Thank you very much.
I mean, I always say it. Lesbian nun, who can tell the difference?
Really?
You know what I mean?
Not from shoes.
Outfits.
Hello, Anand. How are you?
I don't know how I feel about that.
We're not going to go in any further with it.
I'm really upset like that I might be wearing shoes of a nun.
None.
As a lifelong atheist, I'm harmed by this thought.
Yeah, how far do you have to chase
a
nun for those shoes?
I have to change my footwear.
When's the last time you heard somebody say that?
I mean, they're very stereotypical lesbian, but I didn't know that they were the footwear of the nunnery as well.
The nunnery. Get thee to a nunnery. Anand, the random human was me, but now I'm Val. Because I can't log in under my given God-given name.
At this point, we'll fix that later. He'll be fine.
We don't.
Anywho. Kat Carlson, what story
you got?
Speaking
of things we don't know, the Hawaiian Monk Seal Research Program, which I know you all follow on Facebook, has released a photo.
And we got our finger on the pulse of the whole thing.
I feel like there was another story about this same place some time ago, but not this story. I think we did, because the name of that...
The Hawaiian Monk Seal Research Program.
I feel there was a different...
You know, they might be extremely newsworthy.
There's a lot going on over there.
I follow them on Facebook.
Do you?
Nope.
Do you? No, you don't.
Sure don't. Well, you've heard of Elf on a Shelf? Get ready for Seal Snortin' Eels. That's right. Accompanying a photo is this caption. Clayton has the photo.
Poor
Mondays.
Thing.
Oh.
It might not have been a good one for you, but it had to have been better than an eel in your nose. We have reported on this phenomenon before, which may be what you're thinking of. We may have done this story before.
Well, I don't recall that specific story. But
wasn't paying attention.
Never saw this picture before.
Wasn't paying attention.
We have now found juvenile seals with eels stuck in their noses on multiple occasions. In all cases, the eel was successfully removed and the seals were fine. The eels, however, did not make it.
Oh.
Aww.
So what the hell is going on here?
It's a waste of a perfectly good necklace from the looks of it.
Turns out, gross.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really knows. It's just so shocking, says Claire Simone, a veterinarian and monk seal expert based in Hawaii.
Who doesn't get out much. This is shocking.
She's shocked.
She travels with nuns from California.
Exactly. In a very tight analysis of the situation, she says it's an animal that has another animal stuck up its nose.
Well, there you go.
Well observed, Claire. There have been a few
sky
other...
Sky is blue, Claire.
I like color commentary from Claire.
We've all just been waiting to hear from Claire.
Is that grape or aubergine?
And now an update. Claire, what do you see?
Well, there have been a few other...
You're not going to believe this. But there's
Turns out this isn't the first time it's happened. There have been a few other reported instances of seals with eels in their noses.
Seals with eels.
According to a leading scientist, Charles Littman. And he's now asking the seals to make better choices in their lives.
Well, yes.
Try cocaine.
He says it all began about 2 years ago when Littman, the lead scientist of the monk seal program, woke up to a strange email from some researchers in the field. The subject line was, eel in nose.
No.
Mm. Again, direct and to the point.
Not to be confused with hoof and mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just like, we found a seal with an eel stuck in its nose. Do we have a protocol? Turns out there was none.
Oh.
I know.
After a furious day in the library going through protocol after protocol.
No protocols. No. It took several emails and phone calls at the time before the decision was made to grab the eel and pull it out.
Just yank.
Yeah, just
really?
Pull on it. Yeah.
That's how they killed the sub where the eel didn't live.
They say at the time there was only maybe 2 inches of eel actually sticking out of the nose.
Oh, my God.
So it was very much akin to the magician's trick when they're pulling out the scarves. Just keeps coming, coming. After less than a minute of tugging, a 2.5-foot dead eel emerged from the seal's nostril.
What does PETA have to say about this? I'm sure Claire has a letter from PETA in her other hand.
Pulled two eels with
Littman,
one snout.
The head researcher, you remember, tells the Washington Post that he has no idea why this is happening. He says, you see some very strange things if you watch nature long enough, and this could end up being one of those little oddities and mysteries of our careers that 40 years from now we'll be retired and still questioning, what the fuck happened? I'm paraphrasing here.
Oh, I realize you were quoting there.
Seal's diet typically consists of fish, octopus, and eels, but generally they swallow their food like everyone else.
It must just be a way of the eel kind of fighting back and...
Maybe. They say that the seals like to stick their faces into the coral reef holes, and they'll spit water out of their mouths to kind of flush things out in a hunt for food, and they'll do all sorts of tricks. But, you know, shoving their faces in there, it's possible that the eels, who are cornered, think that their best course of action is to swim up the nose.
Eat the brain. Swim out the other part.
And there's no teeth in the nose, I suppose.
No, probably not.
No seals?
I mean, fingers crossed at this point.
To assure the members of PETA that obviously listen to this podcast, seals are known to have been seriously injured by having eels up their noses. However, sealing around doing important seal business with a dead animal in your nose is probably not a great idea.
Mm-mm.
No.
And you know those fuckers at PETA are probably rooting for the eel anyway, so we were never going to win with them.
Yeah, no, people. Never.
Be hearing from their lawyer.
As it turns out, the Hawaiian monk seal is one of the rarest species of seals in the world and is classified as endangered in the United States, which is why we're so concerned about the eels in their noses. The National Wildlife Foundation estimates that there are only about 1,100 monk seals left in the wild, and that number is decreasing at a rate of about 4% every year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, one of their causes of decline is tiger sharks. Good for the sharks.
one for the shark. Yeah.
I mean, point for sharks. But the main culprit is, of course, humans.
Right.
Dumb humans.
Always comes back to the humans. But at least the sharks are doing what they're supposed to do.
I just can't even.
Culling the herd.
Can't even imagine. That's one of those things that really, like, freaks me out if I think about it too long. Like, other animals. Ugh. Like, you see the thing about, like, spiders in your ear. I can't think about it very long because I will freak
the fuck out. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I could never watch a camera of me sleeping. I don't want to find out that a spider crawled over me once 20 mm-hmm. years ago. So mm-hmm. I'd be fucking done. I'd never sleep again.
I'd burn my house down and then I would never sleep, right?
So, musician... Let's call her Kira Iaconetti, had a form of epilepsy that was triggered by listening to or playing music, which, if you know me, that mine is audio triggered as well. A Seattle teen is singing the praises of doctors who let her sing during her brain surgery. This girl, 19 years old, has been performing musical theater since she was a child and has ambitions of making it as a career. She feared that might not happen after a doctor diagnosed her with a form of epilepsy that triggered seizures when she listened to her perform music. So, are you really a musician if you spend most of it seizing? I don't know. Just a follow-up question
right
I had.
There. I think I would give up at some point. I'd be like, no, music's not my thing. It makes my brain freak out.
I just felt like a light switch and switches in my brain, and suddenly I'm tone deaf. I can't sing. I can't process the words in time with music, she told Inside Edition. But Dr. Jason Hompton, a neurosurgeon at Seattle's Children's Hospital, Grey's Anatomy for Kids, decided the best plan of action was to perform an awake craniotomy in which she was put under anesthesia but kept awake during the surgery so she could sing to ignite the parts of the brain that focus on musical abilities. Our focus was not only on taking care of the tumor, but making her life better. We wanted to preserve the things she cares about, like her passion of pursuing a career in musical theater. So her song choice was Weezer's Island in the Sun, in part because it reminded her of Birthplace Hawaii, but also because of the line, I can't control my brain. Once the tumor was removed, she was put back to sleep while doctors finished the surgery. It seems to have worked because she was playing guitar and singing in her hospital, so they made her into Maria von Trapp. 48 hours after the operation, according to
a very beginning.
A very good place to start. My biggest fear before the surgery was that the seizures would get in the way of performing. Now I want to go back to stage to performing as soon as I can. Oh, and with a story like that, who's going to not cast her? So I just think that's very interesting how that works.
Is that the song?
That's the song, yeah.
Oh, okay.
There it is.
Got it.
There it is.
Okay. I was wondering, because every time we talk about a song, I go, do I know that one?
But
I have to hear it to
just
know.
An interesting thing to
make
sure to keep that part awake.
I see it on Grey's Anatomy all the time. That whole awake during brain surgery thing also freaks me out a little.
Oh,
watched.
How are you going to get over that?
There was a news report on one of the, I don't know, 60 Minutes or 2020, some news show that I watched. This is probably been a couple of years ago, where they did the same thing. A man was having seizures or something to that effect, and they kept him, like, they woke him up after, you know, they took the top of his head off, and they were working on him, and they would have him recite whatever, they had him reading something, I don't know exactly what the hell it was, but they were figuring out what part of the brain was triggered. When they would touch it, he would pause when he would speak,
and he would
say something, and it would just hold it when they would get to the right spots, and that's where they knew how to, the affected part of the brain, and they resolved it. Yeah, I was like, that's a trip.
Happens on Grey's Anatomy all the time.
Just,
I don't know.
That's crazy.
Modern medicine.
It's freaky. I don't like it.
Well, here's a modern mom for you. Oh. Look at that. As an officiant of same-sex weddings, Sarah Cunningham has been to many ceremonies in which couples' parents refuse to attend. So the 55-year-old mom took matters into her own hands. In July, Cunningham of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, declared on Facebook that she'd be more than happy to stand in for biological mothers of couples who did not want to go to their children's weddings. Her posting said, quote, if you need a mom to attend your same-sex wedding because your biological mom won't, call me. I'll be there. I'm your biggest fan. Cunningham said that she received an overwhelming response from people looking for stand-in parents to attend their weddings and their graduation ceremonies. Mothers and fathers from across the country even weighed in, offering to go to the ceremonies to support couples as well, which basically just means that a whole network of people are now going to show up. She says, quote, I posted it out of frustration. So often I heard about parents who were not acknowledging these relationships or not attending the weddings at all. I made that post not having any idea that it would go viral, but it happened. But what happened is that from all over the world, I heard from people. I got some invitations, she says. One of those invitations was to Tabitha Cash and Marley Castillo's wedding. Cunningham initially planned to actually officiate the wedding, but after Cunningham shared the post, Cash asked Cunningham if she would represent her mother at the November 3rd wedding this past November. She says, quote, my favorite part was seeing Marley and Tabitha go through this process. They made history that day in their lives. What a beautiful thing to be a part of, she told People magazine. Yeah. Her efforts have even caught the attention of actress Jamie Lee Curtis, who sent flowers to her, and then she passed those flowers on to the newlyweds. The mom of two is set to serve as a stand-in mom at three weddings next year, but Cunningham says other mothers have already volunteered at three weddings as a result of her post. Cunningham's good deed comes about 2 years after she founded a place called Free Mom Hugs, a nonprofit organization which provides support and educational services to parents of LGBT children. Although she's established herself as an ally, this is where I thought it was cool. As she has established herself as an ally in the community, Cunningham says that she hasn't always been there and that this hasn't always been the case. She says that she and her family struggled for many years to come to terms with their son's identity as a gay man. It was through that journey that she learned to accept him and overcome her own biases. Now she's committed to helping other parents on that same journey. And in 2014, she published her memoir, How We Sleep at Night, which chronicles her relationship with her son and the gay community. She belongs
hopefully to a, in separate beds is the answer.
Right. She belongs to an online Facebook group for parents with LGBT children and recommends the private group to moms like her. She also works to end conversion therapy in Oklahoma State.
Yes.
But yes, I think that's so cute, and then I love the, even more. She probably said other people are like, "Well, I'll go." She's so kind of a groundswelling of people who will just go stand in.
That's very sweet. Yeah. You know, if I believed in weddings, that's very
right.
Sweet.
Yeah, I'm not big on that either. I just think it's great that people are like, "What the hell? I'm just going to go stand in for a wedding." It's great. No. Somebody's happy. Let them be happy.
I wish I liked weddings better.
I don't have any desire to do that.
One of the most wonderful things, many years ago, now it's been like 26, 27 years ago.
Who's counting?
When Mike and Darren got married, not legally, but they had a big ceremony. They did it at the Crown Plaza downtown. And in the ceremony part of it, all the people in the wedding and the two grooms brought Darren's mother a rose until she had a dozen roses at the end. And it was
that's cute.
Very lovely. And then when, you know, they did the introduction of the wedding party and then they introduced Darren's parents, the crowd went nuts.
Yeah.
Like when you saw how many people were so touched that his parents showed up for this.
Sure.
It was one of those things where I didn't think of course his parents came to this. Like, you know. And then it occurred, like, oh, wow, like, this is a big thing for people to see acceptance from a family. And so I could see where that would be, like, a huge difference, you know?
Oh, sure. Well, it's not even, like, I remember when I first started working in the bars, how stunned I always was when somebody would bring their parents to the bar.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you brought your mom's okay being here? Like, really? Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's a very quick change.
And I remember my mom saying on a visit, like, let's go see where you work. Like, yeah. I've been in a bar before.
Right.
Yeah, and then when she got there, and there was the old men in the afternoon, and, you know, LD was sitting there, and she, oh my God, they were the same age and liked the same actors.
Best of friends.
Had crushes on all the same actors as teenage boys, and it was fun.
That's cute.
Well, one of the stories I've told many, many times is, I'm one of the fortunate people who, I mean, your mother didn't live here in Phoenix. Mine moved here before I did. But mom used to meet me for happy hour at Winx on Fridays, and she often would get there before I did. And she wound up knowing so many other people in the bar that maybe I didn't even know because it was a mom walking in and everybody just gravitated to her. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so many people, when they would still see her out for, you know, years afterwards, they would remember and they would just go talk to her just like a mom. And it was always, I just thought it was very cool. I was proud of that, that she was able to, and she loved it. She always had a good time and everything was good. But I always felt for those people. And there were a few times somebody would have, you know, would pull me aside and they would be in a kind of down around, oftentimes around holidays where, you know, their moms or their parents didn't accept them or whatever it was.
Yeah,
and
whatever.
They would tell me how lucky I was for that. I'm like, I fully agree. Based on what I've seen of other people,
right.
I was never not accepted, so I just don't know what that is to go through it, but I'm fortunate that she's just always been by my side.
Yeah.
That's forever nice. And ever.
It took my folks a long time to kind of like come around, but they're here. They're fine.
And everybody in their own time. Yeah. You know, the clock starts for them when you tell them. Mm-hmm. They don't start. Right. They're not on your clock. They get their countdown the minute you tell them, and they're like, oh,
yeah,
this is all new information.
Well, she was waiting on me. She already had the clock. I was right.
And, you know,
that happens a lot.
And there's that thing too. But it's also when you find out that your child knows. You know what I mean? Like, you can suspect it, but until you find out, okay, they know. They're dealing with it. They have their thing. Everybody starts on a different clock. So everybody kind of gets to where they're going at different times. You have to.
Yeah. I'm waiting to see if I'm right. I guessed one at 5 years old. I'm like, that's the gay one right there.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to see if I'm right.
I did that with a cousin.
And the evidence just keeps adding up. And I'm like, see?
There's, okay. And I've recommended it 100 times. I've recommended it again. It's called Consenting Adults by Laura Z. Dobson. And it is one of the best books about coming out and assimilation. It's 40-some years old now, but by now.
Wow.
But just a wonderful book about a mother's journey to coming out with her son.
Sure.
In the late 60s, early 70s. And her journey... And because Laura Dobson writes frequently about the Jewish American experience, there's a lot in there about assimilation.
Okay.
And it's a very interesting thing that I had never considered. Mm-hmm. You know, how that plays in, and now it's becoming more apparent. Like the brilliance of her work from 40 years ago is like now that I was just in West Hollywood and. You know, it's now it's completely assimilated. It's not the gay ghetto. It's they right. pave paradise and put up a parking lot.
This I've been struggling to get the picture to come up. That's Sarah Cunningham. She's the one who either
and she just looks a goddamn happy. Why wouldn't you want her at your wedding?
Right,
happy. She should be a professional smiler.
Happy to be there. She is. Yes, and I also love the fact that she's from the Midwest, where oftentimes, I mean, I'm as guilty as ever. You know, everybody's just like. Gays don't exist in Oklahoma. We don't have them here. You know, they all moved to California,
oh,
or whatever.
But you
like,
do.
Oh, but you do, Joan. Yeah.
I know two of them that moved there.
Yeah. Right.
They're always the ones that go the wrong way. No, the song was "Go West, Go West,
Go West."
It didn't say stop in the middle. It said "Go West,
Go Midwest."
Oh, life is peaceful there, but it is to see West Hollywood pretty much gone because I was telling a friend that you know there was the three. The landmarks. There was the car wash,
mm-hmm.
the Ramadan, and the IHOP. Like those are your three. Like you divided the West Hollywood into those three parts, and
okay.
you were in that area.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you didn't know all the names of the bars, but like the Mother Lode now, you'd never know that. Like that's all fancy and cleaned up. The mm-hmm. Abbey's like this giant palace.
It's huge.
Here Lounge is now the church or the steeple or something. It's got some other. It's got the cathedral or something. It's
all
got
the people.
It's got a religious connotation to it, oh. right next to the Mother Lode, which makes me laugh.
Yeah,
that's. Fine.
But like we were standing in front of a bar for the longest time, and I was like, I know where I am, but I don't. I'm like, oh my god, this is the Revolver.
Mm-hmm. Right across from Flaming Saddles.
Yeah, and I'm like, the fuck did they do to this? Like. Revolver looks like the Hilton now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, you gentrified yourself.
Well,
you did that to yourself.
No. Yeah.
But it's so hard to get your bearings because it's not the gay guy. I mean, it's all still the little gay boys, but how they can afford to live there, I do not know.
Oh, it's insane. I for some reason on my Facebook feed, I always see, you know, apartments for rent in WeHo, and I'm like, it's this room or smaller, and it's like, you know, $2,500 a month. And I'm like,
mm-mm.
How do you do that?
Yeah.
I don't know how you do that.
Well, I know they're skinny, they're hungry, but...
Well, that helps. If you don't eat, that's kind of a big part of the budget.
Yeah, it does take...
Or it's a big part of my budget. I don't know anybody else's, but that food wedge is quite large. Well, in a change of topics and from the desk of Don't You Have Anything Better to Think About...
Oh, probably not.
I don't know. We all know, of course, that vexillology is the study of flags and that there are five basic principles... That guide good design. Simplicity, meaningful symbolism, limited use of colors.
Are we on the Big Bang Theory? The World of Flags podcast.
Maybe. Five basic principles. Here they are. Simplicity, meaningful symbolism, limited use of colors, no lettering or seals, and distinction from other flags. Turns out the Utah state flag violates every one of those principles.
Fucking Utah. Yeah.
The Utah flag is considered Oops. By vexillologists to be an SOB, a seal on a bedsheet, says their representative Steve Handy.
Cut to the
from
flag.
Layton, Utah. It really is a mess. They've thrown everything in there but the kitchen sink. Now, Steve Handy is very concerned about this, and he said he recently introduced because it's the beehive state.
I didn't even think about that.
He recently introduced the topic of flag design. By constituents who advocated for a redesign. There are more than just Steve in Utah who care about the flag.
Good for Steve.
Over time, he said, he was convinced that a new flag would be a good idea for the state, and he's preparing legislation to create a flag review commission. If approved by lawmakers next year, the commission would seek input and design ideas from the public, so graphic designers, get ready.
Get ready.
This is going to be a lot of fun.
Where's Aaron?
I don't know, but Aaron... When you listen later, Mm-hmm. Get ready for your Utah flag ideas.
Yeah.
And then once they seek the input from the public, they would like to make a recommendation to lawmakers ahead of the 2020 legislative session. This will be one of those things where people say, oh, legislature, you're wasting time and money again. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
As I've thought about it, says Handy, I think it's an important discussion. We pride ourselves on so many good things that are happening in the state of Utah. Why not have something that's a very powerful symbol of our state? The general design of Utah's flag is more than 100 years old. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
The state seal is emblazoned upon a blue background.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone through various updates, including the adoption of its current design in 2011, and includes images of an American bald eagle,
yes,
arrows, mm-hmm, sago lilies, which is the state flower.
I see them, yeah.
And a beehive on a white shield.
With two separate years.
The words industry in Utah, the dates 1847 and 1896. Those 2 years represent the date that Brigham Young showed up and said this is the place, and the year that they became a state.
And they realized that when they realized that, oh, that's a lake.
No, because the Mormon Church had to change their stance on polygamy to become a U.S. state.
Right.
So they showed up as a territory, and the leader of the Mormon Church, Brigham Young, at the time, showed up, stood on the side of the mountain, looked across the beautiful valley of Salt Lake, and said, this is the place, this is where we're going to stay, because the Mormons were driven out from Illinois and the Midwest.
And Rochester.
For being weird. Right. Well, yeah, it was a long journey. Long. They started in New York. Joseph Smith thinks he's Jesus. It's a whole thing. Go see the Book of Mormon.
I was going to say, have you ever seen a show about it?
No, but I grew up in Salt Lake, so this is part of why it caught my eye.
Get that, yes.
While many of these symbols are, the symbols on the flag are tied to specific elements of Utah history and culture, they effectively blend into incomprehension when the flag is displayed high in the air, which is kind of true. It turns out that Utah's flag looks like 30 other state flags. Do you have the one of all of the states in the flags?
I do.
The photo right there?
This one?
It's kind of true. Look.
I was going to say, because the New York State one is kind of busy too. There's all kinds of shit going on there.
But when you look at it in the context of the map, it's a lot of like blue squares with some shit in the middle that you can't really see. So they kind of have
a
point.
Oregon, Idaho, North Dakota.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
Montana, Michigan.
Mississippi. Or no, that's Louisiana. I don't know my states. South Carolina.
South Carolina changed, though. We've got to give them credit for changing it. Because South Carolina, until super recently, was a rebel flag.
A rebel flag.
Yeah. Super recently.
Oh, yeah. Michigan, Wisconsin, a lot of those northeastern states that I can't always tell apart. I mean, they kind of have a point, but don't we have better things to do? Don't we? So there's two things to take away from this.
And isn't Hawaii kind of married to that British flag a little bit longer than they should be?
Nah, I don't care. Two things to take away from this. Number one, if you're a designer and want to enter a hilarious option, you're going to have a chance.
Yeah.
And please send us a copy.
Oh, because we'll vote for it.
Yeah. So email that to flags@qtalkamerica.com.
World of Flags.
We'll be happy to display that on the air.
World of Flags is the only store still open at Arizona Center. Fun with Flags is Sheldon's podcast.
No, World of Flags is on, isn't it on?
It's on 24th Street just south of Osborne.
But it's also the only thing open still at Arizona Center.
I thought there was one next to Oz on Bethany Home, too.
That would be the right neighborhood for something that glamorous.
Because yeah. I bet... Or maybe
I know, just for to stick it.
In any event. So that's something boring about flags. Caught my eye. I read the whole article, so I decided that you all needed to know, too. You're welcome.
Well, in a completely unrelated thing, farts. A Florida woman faces an aggravated assault charge after authorities say she passed gas in line at a dollar store.
Seems legit.
Smelled like a dollar. Oh. And pulled a knife on a man who complained about it. She who dealt it stabbed it? I don't know what rule she's playing by.
I was hoping that the fart alone was going to lead to the charge. Like, no. I was really, really excited for this story.
A woman's fart was so bad, she was charged with criminal mischief.
Right.
This is the story I wanted it to be. Uh-huh. Now I'm disappointed.
Citing a Broward Sheriff's Office report, the Miami Herald reports 37-year-old Shanita Yvette Wilson passed gas while waiting in line at the Dollar General store Sunday night. and upset a nearby customer.
Like you do.
I'd like to know what he
said. You've been drinking mimosas and eating pancakes all day. You go to the dollar store. Things shift around while you walk.
No longer maple syrup.
All of a sudden you got some air in there. Things have fermented.
The bubbles from the champagne. Yeah. Right. They got to come out somehow.
The report says the offended customer, Wilson, then got into an argument in reference to the defendant farting loudly. It says Wilson then pulled a small folding knife out of her purse and told the victim she was going to gut him. Well, as if he wasn't going to fart when she gutted him. Some air is going to come out of there, too.
I shit my pants.
Yeah. Wilson was arrested and charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without intent to kill. It is unclear if she has a lawyer or Beano.
You gotta take Beano before.
Right.
And yeah, they'll Beano
gas after. Yeah. Yes, there you go.
You really do have to prepare.
So it turns out, for local listeners to know, World of Flags in Phoenix apparently does not exist, but you can go to Flag World in Sports, which appears to be in Arizona Center, and All the King's Flags, which appears to be on...
All the King's Flags, I think, is the one on 24th, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, got it.
24th and Indian School-ish?
Just south of Osborne.
Osborne, yeah.
Speaking of something I just understood after many years of hearing the expression, I'd like to share that with you.
Please do.
I passed by some corporation's map, and it showed all the places, whatever this corporation was that was based, that had an office in L.A., and it showed the globe, and it said, the sun never sets on this corporation. I never understood the expression, the sun never sets on the British Empire. It's because they had holdings all over the globe.
So the sun is always up somewhere?
It was always up somewhere in the British Empire.
Look at you learning stuff.
Like, I was like, oh, that's deep.
Wow. How do you feel now?
Why? What? Weasened.
Wow.
He's a wise old man.
Well, carrying over. Two Marine pilots have been disciplined for making a penis-shaped flight path over the skies of a Southern California town in October. But officials said the two pilots, whose names were not released, will be allowed to keep their wings, according to the Marine Corps Times. Let's cut to a map of their flight, which was this.
That's amazing.
Quote, two Marine Corps aviators were administratively disciplined following the completion of an investigation into the facts and circumstances surrounding the October 23rd irregular flight pattern that resulted in an obscene image. This according to Major Joseph Patterson, a spokesman with the 3rd Marine Aircraft Wing. This is what he told in an interview to Marine Corps Times. The Marines did not release details of the punishment given to the pilots because the discipline was administrative in nature, according to The Hill. The pilots, based at Marine Corps Air Station Miramar in California, first aroused controversy after they flew the phallic flight pattern in their T-34C. The flight pattern went viral after it was picked up by radar and shared by the Twitter account Aircraft Spotters.
I set their dirty minds up because I see children's scissors.
I can see that too.
Yeah.
I can see that too.
The pilots were disciplined in early November pending an investigation into the incident, according to the Marine Corps Times, but they aren't the first military pilots to go off half-cocked. In November of 2017, a Navy crew was disciplined after it made a giant sky drawing of penises while flying over the Okanagan County, Washington skies.
You do what you gotta do, people.
Oh my gosh, you gotta do something.
Gotta entertain yourself somehow.
Yeah.
I want to get down to that Salton Sea. That's just south of Palm Springs. It's the other giant salt lake.
Oh, all right. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a salt lake. Yeah.
Oh, probably left over from the same lake. I don't remember what it's called now.
For chance. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I used to know. It's a big part of what they teach you in middle school in Utah. There's a... I'm not going to remember the name of the lake, but there was a giant lake that covered most of the... of what we now know as the Mountain West. Utah, Nevada, Southern California, Arizona. Like, there was a big, huge salt lake here, and it all kind of dried up and became the Great Salt Lake. As everything... raised or whatever. Anyway.
Wow.
And if you're driving on the 10, if you look off in the distance as you're going west at Palm Springs, you can kind of see it glimmer.
Oh.
And two years ago when they had their El Nino and it was all green in that valley, then you could really see it sparkle. You could see, you know, the it's like a mirage in the desert. It's very odd. But it sits down there. I've always wanted to be like,
let's go there.
Check that out.
Should do that.
But then you're like, does it smell?
Lake Bonneville. Lake Bonneville is the prehistoric lake that covered the eastern part. Anyway, it's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
What, you know what else is a whole thing?
Hmm.
Porn.
Are we going to talk about Tumblr and explain what's happening with Tumblr?
You know what? We could. That's not what this is about, okay. But we could do that.
Well, that'll be an offspring of this story, whatever you're going to share.
We'll get into that in a minute. So it turns out that surfing for smut in China just got quite a bit more, well, lucrative. The Chinese government is offering big payouts to people who snitch on porn.
No.
As of this month, the country's heavy-hitting anti-porn task force is offering up the U.S. equivalent of $86,000, almost exactly the average annual salary to people who live there, to anyone who reports on not safe for work content. You can just report the porn, get the dollars.
Wow.
Watch the porn, enjoy the porn, tape the porn.
Right.
Report the porn. Bingo. Take the money.
Chinese authorities have been using this tattletale tactic successfully, offering cash to ensure a cleaner internet since 2009. But the latest price hike is serious, effectively doubling the reward to vigilantes. China's ongoing campaign against web smut called Clean Up the Pornographic, Strike the Illegal. It's probably a little bit more poetic in Chinese.
Suffers in translation,
Clean Up the Pornographic, Strike the Illegal. We're going to put that on a t-shirt. Has serious consequences for anyone found guilty of watching, sharing, or creating erotic material. While watchdogs get cash, would-be pornographers are smacked with serious jail time.
Wow.
And not in the fun way.
Or they could actually create more porn.
More porn, yeah.
And it's not just adult videos that are getting citizens in trouble. A writer of homoerotic stories who called himself Tianye got nabbed last month and received a hefty 10-year prison sentence.
Wow.
Yeah. For a good dirty story?
For a dirty story. Yeah.
Now they're going to have to be oral histories.
Oh, no.
Well, literally, it's going to have to be oral. No. Mm-hmm. Oh, I did not mean the... I'm sorry. I did not mean the double entendre there.
Yeah.
But you did it.
But we groaned for it anyway.
Yeah.
So the Tumblr thing...
Oh, we're going to go right to that. Okay.
Basically, Tumblr has changed its... What, did you have a question?
No, I actually was going to tell a China story.
Oh. Would you like to do that first?
Our friend Joan... Our friend Joan just returned from China.
He's entirely too tall to go to China. What was he thinking?
People took pictures with him because he was so tall. He went to the Great Wall and went to a bunch of different places.
He's what, like 6'1"?
He's 6'1", 6'2". He's taller than me.
Yeah.
He said everywhere people were taking pictures with him.
Yeah.
Anyway,
entirely too tall.
He's there for a pageant. I forget exactly what it's part of that he's...
I'm surprised.
Anyway, but anyway, he's there for a pageant. Had translators, yada, yada, yada.
Shocked face.
He had his phone, and he said he got in trouble, or I forget how it came about. He was just looking up, like, trying to Google stuff, like you would anywhere
else. That's what I call it, too.
And boom, he got banned from... Something happened, like, through the internet service that he was on, because he was looking up stuff. He got a note, or something happened, I don't know exactly what, but he's like, he got in trouble for it. He's like, I had no idea. Like, an American, like, yeah, you're in their country. You're on their network. They're like, they don't give a fuck.
Somebody's going to do 10 years of prison because
he looked up something.
Yeah, he's Googling
because
myself.
The only reason I knew about this was because I ran into him Friday at Cobalt.
I saw him there,
and
I remember.
I didn't realize he was back in town because he had been posting all the pictures from his trip because he couldn't post them from there. He had to wait until they got back here to start posting pictures of his China trip. So anyway, that little side note about China and internet. Now tell your Tumblr story.
Well, apparently Tumblr has had one of the most loose terms of service on the internet. So you could
there's a double entendre right there.
So you could upload all of the dirty pictures and videos and things of yourself that
throwing
you wanted
a hot
to
dog down a hallway.
Right. That Instagram and Facebook and YouTube, like all of those would reject the material, and Tumblr's always been like, yeah, sure, do whatever, and has been kind of a go-to place for like amateur porn.
Mm-hmm.
And now Tumblr is...
And professional porn.
And professional. Well,
and
sure.
not just that, but I've heard this thing about like sex workers finding a safe place. I just read that too.
Well, sure, because once we lost Craigslist, like how else are you going to get your $20 blowjobs? Like,
I'm so far behind.
I miss reading the missed connections in Craigslist. So that was so funny. The stories.
I loved all of the personals in Craigslist.
So
like
funny.
I would read all kinds of them. I would read the casual encounters and the missed connections. Like they were hilarious, and some of them kind of like porn.
Oh
like,
yeah,
yeah, done correctly. Sure.
Yeah, if done correctly, like there's a page and a half of what you want to do to some kind of a stranger, and I'm gonna go ahead and read it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
I like erotic fiction. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah.
You give me a dirty book, you got me for a day.
Yeah. When I was a kid, my mom was big into like the Harlequin romance novel, and so I was a big reader and would just run out of things to read, so I would sneak one of her smutty books, and yeah, it's a good time. Anyway, So Tumblr has updated its terms of service and has kicked all of that content off of their service now.
Oh, Missed Connections is still there.
Shut up.
No, Missed Connections is there.
All the personals are gone.
No, that's not a personal, though.
What?
Lost and Found, Musicians, Pets, Politics, yada, yada. But there's no personal ads. That's gone. But Missed Connections is still there.
Oh, well, I know what I'm doing after this.
Oh,
show. This
is so fun.
So what do you do for the $20 blowjob now?
Oh, I don't know. Perhaps Tinder?
Why did you look
really
at
know?
Me? I don't understand why you looked at me like that. Like, I'm the keeper of that
you
knowledge?
You talk to people. I don't know.
You're probably more likely to know than I am, so...
Doubtful.
Yeah, maybe not. That's true. I read
Let me know if I come up in conversation. I'm a clean white woman. This stuff does... I never understand what's going on.
I live alone with two cats, and I've been single for 17 years. I don't know.
All right.
Now, Joe says, Tumblr will... Wait. Based on Tumblr recently, many people are just moving into Twitter. You're going to tweet that shit?
Oh, God. Let me show you after we're done. It's all over. You have to follow the right people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And then you got to make sure that you don't like it, right? So nobody goes on your page and sees it?
Oh, I just follow it. I don't care what you see. If you want to look at who I follow, you've got lots of free time.
No.
Ain't none of us running for Congress anytime soon.
No, I just mean about making sure that you don't repost it.
Well, no. I don't repost it.
Yeah.
If it's within the terms of service, like, who cares? If somebody else can post it, then you can repost it.
No, I just don't want somebody, like, seeing what I like as the porn that I enjoy. You know what I mean?
You don't want to share the variety of porn that you're into?
Right.
I got you.
Right. But that's between me and my God.
Right. But if you follow it and somebody looks at your list of who you follow and it's in the mix of all of the, you know, the political...
So I need a fake Twitter name.
Sure. I don't give a shit.
We can do that.
You can go through my... But what I do is I go through and I make sure of who's following me. Because I've found a few people that'll make... No. You're an asshole in real life. You don't get to follow me on here, so I block them.
Oh, I don't care about that.
I just barely am following what the hell they're doing on Instagram. I don't undo this.
No, my Twitter is a delightful mix of politics and Broadway. It's the strangest thing, but I'm into it.
I'm there. I get politics and Broadway, too.
And they're clearly porn.
Why not?
More politics than Broadway.
You're going to get it from somewhere.
Right. I mean, they're...
Obviously not China.
Because the day that porn leaves the internet, the only website will be www.where'stheporn.com. Still the best joke. Not in China.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
In breaking news, Joe has an alternate ego on Twitter.
There was specifically for porn. There was a big campaign, and actually, I signed my name to their little thing. They were trying to get...
Now they've got you.
Twitter... Oh, I don't care. I've signed up for all kinds of shit. I don't want to give a shit.
We know.
But they were trying to get, I would say, Twitter, just split. Have a regular one and have an 18 and up where you have to register to it or something to let this all happen. But one of the interesting things was somebody came up, and it was a meme that somebody posted, which is legitimate. They've said 100 times, you know, they can't. Well, Google was one of them. YouTube is another one who were just testifying for Congress today saying they support free speech, they support this, and yada, yada. And they were asking them, well, why is it you don't curtail the neo-Nazi and the white supremacist movement and all the, you know, all that kind of stuff on there? Well, one of the things about this Tumblr was, you know, they say they're going to ban all the porn and all of this adult content, which really tells you they can, at the drop of a hat, make any change they want.
Right, right.
Why can't you just say, make a change and... No race, no white supremacy, no neo-Nazis, none of that whole shit. Mm-hmm. Just eliminate all of it.
Money.
They say, yeah, no, I get you. I get that. Money. But I like, well, we can't do that, but we're going to do this.
Yeah.
Right, because the danger in running your business with that kind of ethics is that you will lose all of the terrible people that are also giving you money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, it could undo the business. If Facebook all of a sudden decided that, you know what, we're done with racists and white supremacists and, you know, old 70-year-old white guys. Done. So that could be the thing that leads to its ultimate demise, right? Because potentially that might be what's holding them up, maybe not. But they all have the ability to do that. So there is absolutely no right to free speech in your Facebook, your Instagram, none of those things exist. Because you clicked the I accept the terms of service when you signed up for their service,
mm-hmm.
you agreed to And every time they update it and you go, yeah, yeah, just move that notification because I don't care to read it. Every time you agree to the update, you agree to whatever the rules that they have made up, and that is legally binding. And whether you read it or not, that's an actual thing.
Mm-hmm. So, which makes for a great South
Park. Right, which is why right. artists should not post their work on Instagram, because in the Instagram terms of service, Instagram owns your images. Whatever you post to Instagram, Instagram claims ownership of in their terms of service, and they can use it however they wish, and their other users can use it however they wish. So if you're an artist and I see your shit on Instagram and I decide, oh, that would make a great t-shirt, I can take your shit, put it on a t-shirt, sell it for my own profit, and you are shit out of luck because I found it on Instagram where their terms of service say that I can use their image for my own purposes.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's the internet. That's the free market. That's capitalism. Well,
and speaking of things that, you know, have supported that, you said about things all crashing, we've said it 100 times on this, and I know you and I have brought this up before. The entire reason any of this is working and happens at all is all from porn.
Porn, yeah.
All of it. It's all generated because how do we get it there faster? How do we get it in higher definition?
Bigger screen.
How do we do this? And it's all been technological.
How do I pretend I want to call my wife, but I really just want to sit in a hotel
room? The first digital image that was ever transmitted electronically was a topless woman.
Oh.
No shit.
Because what do you want to see?
Because boobs.
Boobs, yep.
B-O-O-B-S.
Yeah.
Titties.
58008, turn it upside down.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shell oil, all the calculator games.
Yeah.
We've all played all of them.
Yeah. Oh, but this will be fun. Phoenix Missed Connections is still available on the Craigslist.
I can't wait.
Because you can search, because in Missed Connections, you can search for keywords.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to search for, like, the bar names.
Oh, sure, that's fine.
So you
can figure out who they are, because you probably know who they
are. Well, for example, let's just see
Or you were sitting there watching it go on.
Right.
Yeah, right. Oh, these are. No, Cobalt didn't pop up. No,
all
nothing.
Right.
There's nothing from Cobalt. Let's see if anything from Stacy's pops up.
Well, the gays clearly all think it's gone, so.
Right. I thought it was entirely gone.
Don't know.
Wait
put in I like my insurer. That's the age group.
Oh,
that's
probably. No. Well, Charlie's. One at Charlie's camp. Pretty girl at Charlie's.
Oh.
You were the beautiful girl who came up to ask me for a cigarette. I was the girl with long brown hair and had on a jean jacket. This is a long shot, but I am a hopeless romantic who should have got your phone number at the time. Oh.
Long brown hair and a jean jacket.
How are we going to find her?
Right. My God. But some of them are really funny.
That's exactly 48% of all the lesbians in town.
What's that line from Karen's, like, finding a queer in a gay stack?
That's funny.
There's that. Do you, end of your story?
Mm-hmm.
Done? You got nothing?
I got
one more?
Nothing.
And then some.
You got nothing? Okay, then I'll do my little last story just because I thought it was cute. A man in Wisconsin has turned snoozing into a charitable act. Gentleman by the name of Terry Lorimer, who is 75, goes to his local animal shelter in Green Bay, Wisconsin, every day and takes naps with cats. Though it's really not his intention. He's, according to Elizabeth Feldhausen, the founder of Safe Haven Pet Sanctuary, Lorimer strolled into the shelter about 6 months ago with a simple dream and a cat brush. He just walked in and started brushing cats. So all he wanted to do, noting that he actually never asked to be a volunteer, so they eventually actually had him fill out an official form so that they could document that his visits were there. He visits a cage-free sanctuary that rescues disabled cats that would be at risk of euthanasia at other facilities. And he stays for about 3 hours, and he grooms the cats, but then typically falls asleep on couches where the cats are there with him. And I thought it was just cute. For example, here's one picture of him. Cat just out. And it says he enjoys this unpaid gig. He brushes them for an experience for him, as it is for him. It's a fun time. Naturally, the volunteer with a habit of accidentally passing out charmed the staff of Safe Haven, and the group decided to dedicate a Facebook post to him on Tuesday.
And somebody brushed him too hard.
So they say he wakes up about every hour, and then he changes areas and cats. And he's there for a little while. Here's another one of him. Does the cat just out? Then he goes home.
I don't know what this says about my life, but I want that to be me when I'm old.
Yeah, it's a noble goal.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, the cats like the attention. They like a person being around. I just thought it was a very cute little story.
You know what? Will you send me a link to that story? Because I want to send it to my mom. So my mom is, like, famous, lifelong crazy cat lady. Like, we went 45 years of always having a cat. Right? From before I was born, she's always had a cat. And she mm-hmm. is now, unfortunately, because they want to travel. You know what I mean? My mom's retired. My dad's going to mm-hmm. retire. So they are, through the natural course of life, they are without a cat now. They had their last one die recently. And my mom's going to start volunteering at, like, the local shelter and, like, petting cats and whatever. So I want to send that to her and tell her to stay the fuck awake.
Yeah. But hey.
Yeah.
It's a good use of lady and her cat. You know right. what I mean? And her cat brush.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, and I'm excited that she finally went and found a shelter, because you could tell, like, the cat's been gone only, like, 3 months, but you can tell that she misses it. You know what yeah. I mean? Because pets are company, and pets yeah. are, mm-hmm. you know, they're people, too, kind of, in a weird way. You talk to them, and you care for them, you get into habits and everything. And
I had a scare with Marty last week. I honestly thought I was losing him.
Really?
He came in to eat one morning, and he was walking in a way he'd never walked. Like, his head was kind of tucked weird, and he was walking odd. And I thought he'd had a stroke or something. Oh. I thought something was wrong. And he didn't care to eat. I'm like, okay, if Marty, it's like me not, you know, going to a Mexican restaurant not eating. No, something's wrong.
Yeah. Right.
So he didn't eat.
Check her pulse.
And he then would go hide in corners, and he would just stay there, and he didn't want to be bothered. I woke up one morning, and he was under a chair in the living room. And again,
oh my gosh,
barely wanted you to touch him, wouldn't eat, walked around real slow and hidden. I'm like, okay, so he's checking out. We're done. Mm-hmm. Went about 3 days. Come to find out, he apparently had like a sinus infection.
Oh, no.
Because he probably never had one. He didn't know what to do. And it was the pressure, I'm guessing, because he couldn't close his mouth, and he was drooling, and his nose was. And so all of a sudden, one day I wake up, and he's just on my bed.
He's just like, fine.
I'm good. Where's food? So I did. It scared me. I thought, oh, shit. I figured Maggie is going to go first because she's older, but Marty's always had a breathing issue. But yeah,
because he weighs 75 pounds.
Actually, the breathing issue I think comes from the fact that he got attacked by a dog, or two dogs, years and years ago, and they had him pinned down.
Oh yeah,
and I still think that there's scar tissue from when they got him, because he, for like a day, he was wheezing really hard.
Sure,
and he's always had a breathing issue. So don't know, but when he woke up and he was like, on my bed, looking at me like, hey, I'm back, let's go. I'm like, oh, good.
Thank goodness.
I'm not ready for you to check out yet, dude.
Right?
Not just yet. I mean, I want a dog, but I don't need a dog that quick.
I go through that every year after my cat sheds, because he's so thin, but his fur is so thick. So as warm weather comes on and he sheds all of his fur, all of a sudden I look at him and I'm like, oh my God, this cat's going to die. Look at him. He's skin and bones.
Yeah.
Yeah, like 10 years running. He's fine.
He's fine.
Still fine.
He'll be just standing and come right back to life. It's all good.
That was great.
I need this. And are you ready for the entertainment, Alfie?
Well, let's sure.
Let's do
Why
it.
Why not?
Here we go.
It's been so long. Wow. So, we have television shows to recommend, movies to recommend. We still haven't talked about the Macy's parade. The Golden Globe nominations are out. Critics' Choice Award nominations are out, and I am obsessed. Oh, I have a documentary to chat about, and I am reading the most delightful series of books right now, based on a recommendation from you.
Oh, I did not know.
You recommended books?
How the hell did that happen?
Quite by accident.
I guess so. Okay, we're going to talk about something I did good coming up later. Just stick with us. 2 minutes.
Hey, girl, you okay?
You're listening to Q Talk America.